Well, let us again sing in our first hymn, and I'd say after the ringing of the bell, but...
Lord.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We continue with the intro printed in the bulletin. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh,
my adversary is in foes. It is they who stumble and fall.
Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear.
Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident.
One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after,
that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life.
For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble.
He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh,
my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall.
Your church may joyfully serve you in all godly quietness.
Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. One of the two great doctrines of the Bible, law and gospel, are the two great doctrines of the Bible. We must sharply distinguish between the law and the gospel in order to understand the Bible rightly. 2 Timothy 2. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. So what is the difference between the law and the gospel? The law teaches what we are to do and not to do. The gospel teaches what God has done and still does in Jesus for our salvation. The law shows us our sin and the wrath of God. The gospel shows us our Savior and brings God's grace and favor. The law must be proclaimed to all people, but especially to sinners who refuse to repent. The gospel must be proclaimed to sinners who are troubled by their sins. Romans 3. For by works of the law no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. John 6. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. In Romans 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after Trinity is written in the 50th chapter of Genesis, beginning with verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him." So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, "Before your father died, he commanded, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of your servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones.' And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." Here endeth the Old Testament reading. Continue with your gradual printed in your bulletin. Atone for our sins, for your name's sake.
Why should the nations say, "Where is their God?"
Help us, O God of our salvation.
For the glory of your name.
Our epistle is written in the 12th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, beginning with verse 14. "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. for in doing so you will heap coals of a fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Here endeth the epistle reading. Please rise for the Alleluia verse printed in your bulletin. Alleluia.
Alleluia. He has sat on the throne, in righteous judgment. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, is found in the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 36. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. Here endeth the gospel reading. Our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God. Begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and solid church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn.
Thank you.
This morning is based on Luke 6, verse 36. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. The theme is judge not, show mercy. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
So what does it mean to be merciful? And then Jesus tells you, judge not, condemn not, forgive, and give. This is how you show mercy. Your saints in Christ, judge not. Because this statement of the Lord is so grossly misunderstood, let us first examine what it does not mean. Jesus does not forbid here all types of judging. I mean, it would be irrational to say that a judge and a jury cannot pass judgment in court. No society would survive such a practice. Parents, too, must judge. A mother who catches her daughter returning home at 3 a.m. reeking of alcohol can't simply shrug her shoulders and say, "Who am I to judge?" So then those who are given the proper authority to judge must still carry out their God-given duties. In fact, Jesus commands all Christians to judge. In the 12th chapter of Luke, the Lord says, "Why do you not judge for yourselves what is right?" And in the 7th chapter of John, Jesus says, "Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." Christians must judge themselves according to God's word to see whether they themselves are going astray. Christians must judge what is being taught to them to determine whether they are being taught the truth or whether they are being taught lies. As Jesus warns in Matthew's gospel, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." And so then each Christian should pay attention to what their pastor preaches to them and whatever is being taught to them, and then judge this teaching based upon the truth of God's word. Scripture also commands that Christian congregations judge so that public and scandalous sins are not committed freely within the congregation. St. Paul writes in his first letter to the Christians in Corinth, "But I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater, reveler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you." So God commands specific authorities to judge within their jurisdiction. He commands Christian congregations to judge what is right and wrong and to address public sin. And he commands all Christians to judge between right and wrong, both in what they are taught, believe, and confess, and how they behave. So what does Jesus mean when he says, "Judge not, and you will not be judged"? It means, don't set yourself up as a judge where God has not made you a judge. You confess the creed that Christ will return to judge the quick and the dead. Such judgment is Christ's prerogative, not yours. And yet people pass judgment all the time. A man walking down the street in the middle of the day, and he sought to be a jobless bum. People make assumptions about a young lady with young children not wearing a wedding ring. Your judgments are harsh, and they assume evidence that is invisible. "He just said that because he thinks he's better than me. She knew that would upset me, and she did it anyway. She clearly doesn't have the love of Christ in her." Not only do you put your neighbor on trial in court, in the most unfair court of your mind, but you condemn them, denying them the very love that God has for them. Just imagine being put on trial without the right of an attorney or even a witness to come to your aid. No right to present your evidence to support your cause. Not even the right to face your accuser. To be guilty until proven innocent. and then to be condemned and have your name slandered. You'd be hard-pressed to find such an unfair court, even in North Korea. Yet that is what you do to your neighbor when you judge them. Do you practice such judgment and condemnations? Do you refuse to forgive? How foolish you are to act this way, and even to have your fellow Christians. Oh, sure, God may forgive that person, but I can't forgive them. A person who may have to survive the strict judgment of God, but woe to you, to them, if they fall under your condemnation. And this shows you how silly it is to refuse to forgive. I mean, God sent Jesus into the world to die for all sinners. Not a one is excluded. Nevertheless, somehow the person who sinned against you can't receive God's forgiveness. How can you go to the Lord's table to receive Christ's very body and blood for your own forgiveness and join the communion of all the saints? Yet withhold forgiveness from your brother or sister going to that same table to receive the same body and blood, to be united with the same community of all saints. No, this is not right. And here you must listen to your Lord's strict warning. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So do not judge. If someone does you wrong, you confront them as Jesus directs you in Matthew 18. And if he does not repent, then bring witnesses. And then bring it to the church. If you see criminal activity, report it to the proper authorities. But do not pass judgment yourself or try to carry out justice yourself. As you learn in your catechism, defend your neighbor and speak well of him. And put the best construction on everything. Assume the best of your neighbor, even if your gut tells you to think the worst. And this is a very important lesson for you here in the congregation, because no congregation will survive if its members pass judgment and condemn each other without following Christ's strict command. If you think one of the members of this congregation or the pastor has done you wrong, don't go talking about that person behind their back. Jesus says to speak with the person who sins against you first. Perhaps you can be reconciled. Perhaps you can forgive each other and then live in unity, which is a beautiful thing as the psalmist declares. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when a brother dwells in unity. And why is it that you judge anyway? Is it not to justify yourself? But your judgments don't matter. Your condemnations will not stand on the last day. God judges according to his own law. And your judgments against your brother and neighbor will not make you any better in God's sight. Your measurements don't matter to him. The only measurements that matter to God is his. So when you look at God's measurements, his commandments, you should not examine your neighbor first, but yourself. You can't take the speck out of your neighbor's eye while you have a log protruding from your own. You must first repent of your own sins before you can help your neighbor repent of his. Because the blind can't lead the blind. So when you examine yourself according to God's law, instead of your own standard, your defenses give way. You can't justify yourself. You're forced to plead with the psalmist. Enter not into judgment with your servant. For no one living is righteous before you. You must admit that your neighbor has not offended you nearly as badly as you have offended God. God's law makes you take the gospel more seriously. You cannot justify yourself. You cannot get to heaven by condemning others. Rather, you need God to show mercy and compassion to you. And then this brings you to the beginning of this morning's text. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. The first thing you must take from this statement of Jesus is that God, your Father, is merciful. He does not judge you, even though he has the right to do so. Instead of condemning you, he sent his Son into the world to take your condemnation in your place. Where Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? From the cross he cries, so that you would not have to cry in hell. God forgives. And he doesn't wait until you're sorry enough to forgive. You, as you would do to those who sin against you. He doesn't wait until you have shaped up and made amends with everybody. Rather, while you were still sinners, Christ died for you. Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world long before you ever acknowledged your sin. You see, God gives, and he gives richly. Not only does he provide you with all that you need to eat and drink, clothing, house and home, health and friends, family, shining his sun on you whether you love him or hate him, God gives you more generously to those who have faith in him. No. I'm not talking about earthly wealth. Jesus compares it to illegal measurements. A merchant at the market will usually be sure not to give you an ounce more of flour than you paid for. Nevertheless, God gives you a good measure. He's the merchant that jams the flour into your jar, pressing it in so that he can fit even more in, shaking it down, and pouring more in until it spills over the top. And so does God shower you with spiritual blessings. He baptized you, pouring his Holy Spirit into you and washing you in Jesus' blood. He forgives you over and over and over again. He offers you Christ's true body and blood, a gift you didn't ask for, but one that you so dearly need. So with this in mind, you too can be merciful. You can't find this mercy in yourself. You must find it in God through Jesus' blood and merit. God's mercy flows into you and flows out of you. You withhold judgment because God withholds from judging you. You do not condemn, not only because you have no right, but also because Jesus withholds his condemnation from you. So you forgive, not by your own power, but by the power of God's forgiveness for you. You see, a disciple is not above his teacher. You will never be a superior to Christ. But every student, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. And this is not optional. You who have received God's mercy and forgiveness through Christ must also show mercy and forgiveness to others. When you refuse to show mercy, you reject him who showed you mercy. When you refuse to forgive, you deny your only saving faith. When you refuse to give to those in need, you do not show forth the love of God, as St. John writes. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Nevertheless, when you show mercy, you confess the God who shows you mercy. And so each of you must constantly repent and return to the God who shows you mercy. Plead to the Father to forgive your unforgiving heart. Pray that God would give you the strength to show mercy and to forgive each other. Return your merciful Father, the psalmist declares. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Dear saints in Christ, your Heavenly Father is much more merciful than you are, not because he permits sin or has a less strict law than you, but because he has a compassionate heart. God's compassion led to the passion of the Lord, who won your forgiveness with his blood. There is your mercy and forgiveness. You didn't ask for it. You don't deserve it. You'll never be able to pay it back. But God gives it to you freely, and he gives it to you joyfully. Oh, how great is God's compassion on you. Let's praise him in this life and in the next. Amen. Now, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
As your mercy is poured out in rich measure, so open the mouths of all ministers in the church to preach your blessed and saving gospel. Open the mouths of Christians to proclaim the marvels of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let our works of mercy attest to the love we have received from you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, teach all your children true humility, that we would learn to confess our sin rather than excuse or deny it. Keep us safe from all pride, which would lead us to disdain our fellow Christians who have received your mercy. Lead us rather to rejoice at the patience you have shown to each of us in forgiving our many trespasses. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, as you have granted us to live in a nation where your people may still gather without fear, bless our leaders with your wisdom and guard us from the rising ungodliness in our land, that your gospel may be preached boldly and continue to bear fruit and grow. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Receive the groanings of your church, dear Father, as we await the redemption of our bodies and the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Turn away the corruption of sin, the futility of our fallen state, and every ill of body and soul. We pray especially for Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Bev, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Mo, Dennis, Ruth, Janet, Tammy, Roger, Steve, Rachel, Shirley, Michael, Deanna, Robin, Brianna, Chuck, Lydia, Gordon, Deb, Pastor Fish, Mary, Billy, Tim, Tony, the Vicar Langton family, and the Leslie family, and those we now name before you in our hearts. Comfort us in the midst of these sufferings with a certain hope of your incomparable glory, which at the last will be revealed to us. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
O Lord, keep us from self-idolatry that seeks to avenge ourselves and our enemies by repaying evil with evil. Help us instead to overcome evil with good and live peaceably with all. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Merciful Father, clear all grudges, unbelief, and impenitence from us, that we may eat and drink your Son's true body and blood with lively faith in his promises and receive the forgiveness you have given in this blessed sacrament. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, Heavenly Father, you are merciful and through Christ have promised that you will neither judge nor condemn us. But graciously forgive all our sins and abundantly provide for all of our wants of body and soul. By your Holy Spirit, establish in our hearts a confident faith in your mercy. Teach us in turn to be merciful to our neighbor, that we may not judge or condemn others, but willingly forgive all in judging only ourselves. Lead blessed lives in your fear. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is fit and right, so
truly good, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh, and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died upon the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy.
is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Body of Christ, given to death for your soul. Take, eat, this is the true body of Christ, given to death for your soul. Take, eat, this is the true body of Christ. Take, eat, this is the true body of Christ, given to death for your soul. Take, eat, this is the true body of Christ. God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, keep me by your grace. Take, eat, this is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins.
Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Please rise. Refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us to the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Upon thee and give thee peace.